Christopher's Conundrum. Christopher Michaels drifted into consciousness from the edge of a wet dream. He was on the verge of discharge when he realized that his backside seemed to be getting warmer than it had been just a little while earlier. He thought he heard the television say something about robbery, killing, kidnapping, and the rodeo mart on Gessner. He then realized that he still had a guest and that his guest was looking at him. He started realizing his situation. "Good morning," he heard the woman say. "Good morning," he answered. "Did you sleep well?"
"I suppose I did."
"I covered you up just now. You'd have done the same for me, I'm sure." Christopher felt flustered. He slept naked as a matter of habit and had most likely been exposed to the woman who had invaded his apartment. He then smiled, knowing full well that had the tables been reversed, he wouldn't have been so quick to cover her up. She smiled back. "If you don't mind, who the hell are you?" he asked while he groped around the floor searching for his briefs. She smiled a knowing smile while she hauled up his underwear just out of reach. "I do know that your name is Christopher," she teased while swirling the briefs around on her index finger. "I wish you had paid attention last night when I told you my name." She tossed him his underwear, turned, and then paid attention to the cabinets in the kitchenette. He scrambled to cover himself while admiring his view of her rear end. "You don't have any coffee," she complained while going through his cabinets.
"I don't drink coffee."
"I found some tea, English breakfast."
"Well, that's what I drink. I drink iced tea with a little sugar, but not in the morning. I usually start out with a glass of milk and cold cereal."
"Chris, is it all right if I call you Chris?"
He nodded.
"Yes, Chris is just fine, but I prefer Christopher. And you told me last night that your name was Tony, right?"
"Well, you did remember, didn't you?"
She turned around and smiled. "People around here call me Tony, but the truth of the matter is that my name is Chloe," she revealed. "Tony is short for Antoinette. That's my middle name."
"Ah, the feminization of my middle name, Anthony," he remarked.
"Give me a few minutes. I need to attend to some business." He got up and went into the bathroom, lifted the lid on the toilet, and started to void his bladder. She protested, so he stopped long enough to close the door and engage the privacy lock.
"May as well make good use of my time while I'm in here," he thought. So when he finished, he decided to shave and take a shower. The woman in his apartment was not unattractive. Maybe if they had a decent conversation, they could get past what happened the night before and get something started.
He came out 15 minutes after he'd closed the door, wrapped in only his towel, anticipating that he'd have to tell his uninvited visitor to turn around while he, at least, put on a pair of clean underwear. Much to his surprise, she was gone, and so were his house and car keys. "Damn it!" he exclaimed, looking around to see if he had misplaced the keys when he came home the night before. 5 minutes of searching in the obvious places yielded nothing other than a bra and the shirt his guest wore when she invaded his territory in the early morning hours. He threw on some clothes before heading downstairs to the parking lot to check his car. Gone. Damn it to hell. He went back upstairs and found the door to his apartment had automatically closed and locked behind him. The office at the complex wouldn't be open for another few minutes. He had to wait at least that long to get a passkey so he could get back into his apartment so he could call the police and report the missing car. He sat down on a hard concrete bench in front of the office door to wait for someone from the office to arrive.
"Are you waiting for me?"
Sharon, the office manager, flirted with him. Christopher had figured out that she flirted with most of the single males in the complex. It's part of doing business. After giving him a quick lecture about keeping track of his keys and expecting to get by with no consequences, she gave Christopher a duplicate key, which he took upstairs. He returned to find his guest at the kitchenette table calmly sipping hot coffee that she had purchased at a nearby coffee shop, looking at him as if nothing had happened.
"I borrowed your car while you were in the shower. I hope you don't mind," she chirped.
"You could have told me that you were going," he scolded.
"Well, I left my bra on your pillow so to let you know that I was coming back," she retorted. I would think that you would at least look for obvious clues before jumping to conclusions. If all you wanted was a cup of coffee, you could have at least waited until I'd gotten out of the shower and let me take you to get it.
Well, I had to go to my place to get a few things, she explained. The coffee was an afterthought. My place is crawling with cops, so I needed to borrow a few things from you.
She took another long pull from her coffee, then got up from the table.
Do you mind if I stepped in to take a quick shower? She asked.
Knock yourself out, he said, shaking his head in surrender. There's at least one extra clean towel in the cabinet above the toilet.
He briefly toyed with the idea of asking if he could join her, but decided to keep his hormones in check. If the police were at her apartment, she could pose more trouble than he cared to deal with.
Chloe got up and barricaded herself in the bathroom. The moment he heard the privacy lock click, he retrieved his cell phone to call the neighborhood police station. He told the person answering the phone that he might have been a witness to a robbery the night before. He was transferred to what he presumed was the main office downtown.
Detective Division, Lieutenant Clark.
The voice on the other end sounded tired from too much caffeine and too little sleep.
Lieutenant, my name is Christopher Michaels. I've caught some bits and pieces in the news this morning concerning a robbery and shooting. Would that have been the Rodeo Mart at the corner of Westheimer and Gessner between 9:30 and 10:30 last night? I was there and might have seen someone involved going in at around that time. I was leaving the parking lot.
The lieutenant took a statement and left some basic information.
Are you going to be around in, say, half an hour or so? Detective Clark asked after getting basic information.
I'm in the general area investigating a related matter. I'd like to talk with you.
Sure, Christopher told the detective. I had the day off. I'd be glad to help.
There's a possibility the girl you mentioned seeing may have been kidnapped, the detective added. We'd appreciate anything else you may be able to recall from last night.
A piece to the puzzle in Christopher's head snapped into place.
I'll be happy to help, officer.
The water finished running in the bathroom. Christopher ended his conversation with the officer without saying anything about his guest.
Do you mind if I go ahead and wear the shirt you gave me last night? Chloe asked through the door.
Go ahead, I don't mind.
Chloe emerged from the bathroom, pulling his Carpe Diem t-shirt down from just under her breasts, showing just enough skin to keep his attention.
I suppose you called the cops.
I suppose I did.
Crap, she muttered while pouring back into her jeans.
Christopher watched while he felt his manhood start to come to attention again. He tried to cover up when she looked in his direction.
By the way you keep getting aroused, I'm guessing you date your hand, she smirked.
Christopher reddened just a bit, knowing that his intruder was right. His contact with women outside work was limited to the office manager and an occasional grunt of hello to his female neighbors.
If it makes you feel better, I'd do the same thing.
I just did it in the shower, she teased while she finished adjusting his shirt.
I need you to take me somewhere, she then announced. We need to leave, now.
She started flitting about the room, opening drawers and pulling out pieces of Christopher's clothing.
I mean it, Buster. Get a day, 2 days worth of your stuff. Bring the sleeping bag and some pillows. We need to get out of here before the cops you called get here.
I'm not going anywhere until you tell me what this is all about.
The police said something about a kidnapping, he protested.
They heard someone coming up the outside stairs, followed by a knock at the door. Chloe tossed everything she had already packed or picked up onto the bed and then went into the bathroom.
Christopher went to the door and opened it. Sharon, the apartment manager, stood outside, so he let her in.
I just looked, the apartment manager stated. You told me your car was stolen.
Well, I just looked and saw your car in the parking lot, she stated, looking at him quizzically.
Didn't you tell me it was missing?
I thought it was. I must have been mistaken, he apologized, handing the woman the key she had loaned him.
Sharon smiled and winked at him. She was flirting again. She then looked over at the table, raising her eyebrows when she spotted the carry-out cup of coffee from the friendly rooster.
I suppose you were, weren't you?
He noted a hint of sarcasm in her voice.
Look, I wouldn't say no if a certain up-and-coming pharmacist were to ask me to spend time with him when neither of us is working, she hinted. Well, this up-and-coming pharmacist will save your suggestion for another day. Right now I have other concerns.
I figured as much, she said icily. Lunch today, perhaps?
Sorry, I'm expecting company.
Other than whoever's been here already this morning?
Other than whomever you think has been in here this morning, he told her.
Sharon left the apartment shaking her head. Christopher watched her go across the courtyard toward the office before turning back inside. His accidental guest had already gathered the items collected before the interruption and placed them in a plastic trash bag.
We need to get going before the police get here or before that woman decides to come back, she urged him.
Why? What's going on here?
I need to get out of here. I need someone to drive me. I'll explain in the car.
And I suppose that you can't drive your own car because of the police.
Yes. When I drove by my apartment in your car, the place was crawling with them. When I left last night, I didn't bring my wallet, my clothes, and my cell phone. I left them all in my apartment.
I thought you said something about ditching your phone while you were being chased, Christopher reminded her.
Yeah, you're right, she confirmed. The bottom line is that I could be in trouble and I need your help.
Can't we just stay here and wait for the cops?
I'm sure they'd be more than happy to help you get things sorted out, he suggested. I mean, if the news reports are right about there being a kidnapping, and if you were the person being kidnapped, they may be happy to have you back.
And more likely they'll take us both downtown and question us about what happened to the grocery last night.
That was you in the car last night when I pulled out of the parking lot, wasn't it?
Yes, that was me, she sighed. Now would you please lock up and get us out of here?
Just like that?
Just like that. I promise to make it worth your while. Please?
Christopher looked at her. Something about her made him want to trust her. Maybe it was his hormones talking.
I need the whole story, though, he insisted.
That's fair enough. I don't have time to tell you the whole story right now. We need to go now.
Her tone was becoming increasingly urgent.
Christopher considered her plea for a few moments before his libido got the better of him. He went with her to the parking lot, but noticing that she had another, smaller bag which she secreted under the passenger seat before buckling in. He wasn't sure that his car would make the long trip, being overdue for an oil change and a tune-up. He watched as she carefully looked around as if she were a fugitive. Maybe she was being chased by unknown agents, or perhaps by the people who robbed the rodeo mart the previous evening. He drove out of the parking lot and into the perpetual Houston rush hour. Part of him thought he had gotten involved in a situation he didn't want to be in. Another part of him wanted desperately to know more about this mystery woman who had, just hours ago, crashed into his life.